Hello, political learners. Welcome to the Weekly Paul Show. My name is Tobias Sika. I'm a fourth-year Bishop's graduating student doing a double major in political science and German as a foreign language, and I will be your host for this show. This week, I have the great privilege of interviewing Robert P. Sanders, the U.S.'s current Consul General in Montreal, on the upcoming 2024 U.S. presidential elections, on U.S.-Canada relations, and on the role U.S. diplomats play here in Canada. A career Foreign Service officer, Robert P. Sanders is the Consul General at the U.S. Consulate General in Montreal. Most recently, he served as the political counselor and acting deputy chief of mission at the U.S. Embassy in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Robert has served in a wide number of positions, both in Washington and overseas, including in Islamabad, Pakistan, Beirut, Lebanon, Provincial Reconstruction Team, COST, Afghanistan, and a principal officer in Thessaloniki, Greece. Robert speaks French, Greek, Spanish, and Urdu, and is an active member of the GLIFA, Gay and Lesbians in Foreign Affairs Agencies. He is a native of California. Consul General Sanders, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So for my first question, why should Canadians pay attention to U.S. federal elections, and particularly the upcoming 2024 presidential election?
Well, I think actually it's pretty natural for Canada and the United States to pay attention to what's happening with each of our neighbors. So, you know, as much as the presidential elections in the United States gets lots of attention around the world, I think it's natural for the Canadians, who are our closest neighbors, to be particularly interested in what's happening. There's elections, of course, happen all the time in the United States. There are literally thousands of elections every year. The presidential election, of course, is pretty consequential, but we have, you know, state and local elections throughout the years. And, of course, our legislature has elections for this time. We'll be electing a whole House of Representatives as well as a third of the Senate. And, of course, those things can affect, particularly if those are border states, they might have more impact on a direct relationship with Canada. But, of course, I think it's pretty natural for folks to pay attention. Despite the fact that there are changes in government, I think one of the things that we also see is a lot of continuity in our relationship with Canada and between Canada and the United States. So I know lots of folks are looking to see what will happen, you know, as are we, but of course we're also looking forward to continuing to have the close ties that we have with Canada and to continue the relationship that we here at the U.S. Consulate in Montreal and, of course, across the whole U.S. mission in Canada continue to promote between our two nations.
Great. Thank you very much, Consul General Sanders. We have seen, most notably with the development of AI, a bewildering amount of disinformation circulating during political campaigns. How can the United States and Canada work together to address the challenges posed by disinformation?
I think that's a great question. It's very timely. It's not only with the advent of AI, but I think AI certainly potentially aggravates the challenges that Canada, the United States, and a lot of other democracies have faced with disinformation and misinformation. The State Department has worked very hard to engage on this in particular and created a global engagement center that works across government and multilaterally to try to identify, to analyze, and to reveal when there is foreign manipulation of information in campaigns. And so Canada and the United States work very closely on this. And so just as an example, earlier this year in June, both the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom worked together to expose Russian government efforts to engage in subversive activity and electoral interference in Moldova. Also, the U.S., Canada, and the United Kingdom have worked to endorse a framework to counter foreign state information manipulation. And this is part of our way to engage diplomatically, to ensure that we're pushing back on this threat of disinformation, and to ensure that we're protecting our democracies and those of democracies around the world. I mean, I think we all realize that information integrity is a crucial component of election integrity. I know Canada has also confronted this following some of their recent investigations, but we want to ensure that we're having access to trustworthy, reliable, and accurate information. And it's really important that this is something that's not just a government role, but this is also for citizens. It's important that we are actively seeking out good information, that we are supporting credible journalism, that we are fact-checking and monitoring media, and that we're disrupting and exposing misinformation and disinformation, particularly when it comes from sort of malign foreign actors.
You are hearing the Weekly Pulse Show with Tobias Sika, and this week I'm interviewing Robert P. Sanders, the U.S. Consul General in Montreal. Consul General Sanders, we know that commercial trade is a major element of the relation between Canada and the U.S., yet it is not the only aspect of this relation. What major issues characterize the current U.S.-Canada and U.S.-Quebec relationship other than commercial trade?
Thank you for asking that. That's a great question, because there's actually a lot going on. Obviously, there's a huge commercial relationship. I don't want to underestimate that at all. You know, the United States and Canada have the largest trading relationship in the world. Something like $2.5 billion U.S. dollars crosses the northern border or your southern border every single day, which I think is a tremendous, it's a tremendous number when you actually start to think about that. It's hard to put your mind around it. So, of course, our commercial relations are really strong, but of course, part of what underpins the commercial relations and the trade relations are those personal ties. There's obviously very close government ties. Canada and the United States work very closely, not only on our bilateral issues, but also, of course, in the North American space, but also multilaterally all over the world. We're NATO partners and allies. We work in UN on certain issues together. So there's many areas where we do this, but it's also tons of people-to-people ties. I think I'm a pretty normal American in that, or typical American, I should say, in that I have cousins on both sides of my family in Canada. I think many people have friends and family on either side of the border. It's very common for Canadians or Americans to visit each other's country as summer vacations. And so there's just these kinds of ties that really tie us together. Here in Montreal, we have a large population of Americans who live here, work here, go to school here. It's all over the place where you have these sort of deep ties that are unlike really any other relationship in the world. And so while we have, you know, trade is a big part of a relationship, a lot of it is this uniqueness of a personal touch. But more kind of on a policy side, you know, the United States and Canada post-pandemic, you know, we sort of renewed our ties. And so President Biden and Prime Minister Trudeau set out a vision in the renewed partnership for a U.S.-Canada relations. And that focused on a lot of things, including, of course, trade, including, of course, recovering from the pandemic, which, of course, we're largely past now. But, of course, it was also focused on things like inclusive economic growth, advancing diversity, equity, and inclusion throughout our societies on all levels and all places. Also bolstering security and defense, and so we've been working with Canada to strengthen NORAD and NATO partnerships. And so our relationships really, really transcends every conceivable aspect of daily life. And I think that's part of just a testament to the fact that Canada and the United States have just very unique close partnership.
Speaking about this relationship, how does the U.S. diplomatic mission help to maintain close ties and a good relationship with Canada?
Well, I love this question because I love to talk about what I and my colleagues across the U.S. mission to Canada do. As you may or may not know, I'm one of seven consuls general across Canada. We have a large U.S. mission based at the embassy in Ottawa, and we have consulates that go from Halifax, Quebec City, Montreal, Winnipeg, Toronto, Calgary, and Vancouver. So we cross a bunch of time zones, and we have presence sort of everywhere. Partially, again, it's a reflection of the close relationship we have. I also am going to throw in a little historical bit in that many of your listeners may not be aware that this year is the 170th anniversary of the U.S. Consulate General here in Montreal, a testament to our very long relationship. Our colleagues who are up at the consulate in Quebec City, it is their 190th anniversary. And last year, our colleagues in Halifax, which is our oldest diplomatic post in Canada, they celebrated their 190th anniversary. So I think that's just a strong testament to the fact that we have had these ties for a really long time. But in addition to the sort of the what you might expect a diplomat to do, I think people don't often realize how many things that we're involved in. And actually, you may see I have my calendar with here, and I brought this for a reason, because I was kind of looking at some of the things that we're doing just over this month here in October. And you know, I look that we're having this week we've hosted two congressional delegations from the United States. Over the past few months, I've hosted several governors and other trade missions from different individual states in the United States, including also some individual cities from the United States. We are doing, of course, things like our partnership with other organizations in Canada. Like, you know, I don't just deal with, for example, the Global Affairs Canada folks. You know, we also deal with local law enforcement partners, local educational institutions. We have lots of direct engagement with people that we help send on exchange programs to the United States. So we have programs where people either go to study on something like our Fulbright programs, or it could be something where we send someone like a young rising entrepreneur to the United States to learn about some of the best practices that we have in that sector so that they can develop themselves, bring back some expertise to Canada, and help, you know, grow their own business. Last week, we were also really fortunate. Obviously, elections is an interesting target. In the same room in which you're sitting right now, we had about 50 students from the four Montreal-based universities who all came here for some discussions we had on the elections. And so it's a nice opportunity to actually just meet and talk to everyday people. That's a big part of what we try to do here on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, you name it, we're interested in engaging with all sorts of people who live here in Montreal and in the greater Quebec area, and to sort of help them understand us and help us understand Canada better.
And what is your role as the U.S. Consul General in Montreal? And what are some day-to-day professional activities you do here as a diplomat?
Well, I'll say that the number one mission that any U.S. consulate or U.S. embassy has overseas, of course, is the assistance to U.S. citizens. So whether that's a citizen who is visiting Canada and maybe loses their passport and needs that to be replaced, maybe they've experienced some difficulty and need some assistance, that's, of course, the first thing that we're here for. Sometimes there are people who are here, longer-term residents who are working or studying, and maybe they have a child and their child needs a birth certificate, so we will help them get that. So those are some of the sort of nice things that we get to do. It's nice to see when someone brings their child into the embassy and they get their proof of American citizenship. But we, of course, also engage across a wide number of areas. As you mentioned before, trade is an important part of our relationship. So, of course, we do work with our Foreign Commercial Service to engage Canadian businesses who may be looking to expand into the United States, who are maybe looking to invest in the United States or want to understand better what sort of opportunities there may exist. So we certainly work to facilitate that. We also, of course, promote things like U.S. exports, things like agricultural products. We have a Foreign Agricultural Service representative at the consulate who helps promote the sale of quality American products, like things from my home state of California, like California wines or California pistachios, as you've had here today. But we also have very close cooperation with our Canadian law enforcement colleagues. Unfortunately, bad guys don't respect borders. And so we do, of course, there is cross-border criminal activity that affects both Canada and the United States. And so we have a number of law enforcement representatives at the consulate who work with their Canadian counterparts, both local, like the Montreal Police, provincial, like the Sûreté du Québec, and, of course, federal with the RCMP. Depending on the nature of issues, we do a lot of joint information sharing, joint prosecutions. And so those are some of the things that we do kind of on a day-to-day basis. In our public diplomacy realm, I do things like this. I'm having an interview with you and helping explain, hopefully, to your listeners some things about the United States. But also, as I mentioned, we hosted some students last week, so we like to engage with educational institutions because we have a strong interest in promoting education. We think that's a foundation of democracy. So our public diplomacy team is constantly making new contacts with people in educational institutions, in cultural institutions, with local NGOs, partners who we may be able to do projects with on items of mutual interest. And so you really name it, and it's something that we're interested in doing. I think one of the things that U.S. embassies and consulates do particularly well is that we get to know our local communities. We get out there. We get to meet people. We're always looking to find new talent, new opportunities, and emerging audiences of things that are, you know, this is a dynamic society. This is a society like the United States where you have new people coming to Canada, new people coming to Montreal. So it's, you know, we're interested in getting to know the newcomers as well as the folks who've been here maybe for centuries. But it's a dynamic place, and so it requires us to be sort of constantly engaged with our local audiences. Of course, it makes for a super interesting job. It's never boring. It's never dull. We're always getting to find out new things and discover new things about the local environment here in Montreal.
And with this role, how do you get informed about events in Canada affecting the U.S.-Canada relationship?
Well, this is a great question because, of course, there is a lot of information to take in. I think we do it from a variety of things. Certainly, of course, we of course, you know, look at the local media. I have a Canadian local Quebec news on my in my office every day. It helps me with my French too, because I every once in a while there'll be something that will pop up in the screen that I realize I don't know that word. Let me look it up. But that's one, of course, one of the ways. But a lot of it also is our regular engagement with the local population. You know, because not only do we want to know sort of what's happening in the news, but also what do people think about it. You know, we may see it one way, but actually it may be viewed very differently by the local audience. And so, of course, that's important for us to understand is how Canadians, how Quebecois maybe understand a development either politically or economically. You know, in a day-to-day basis, I certainly read media. I have very fortunately team members who scan the media for us, alert us to new breaking things, like some of the announcements that you hear on breaking news. We often hear, you know, directly from our public diplomacy team about those things. And when we want to understand context, we'll certainly talk to our local folks and ask them what they think about things. But of course, I also get out and try to talk to people directly. That's why, you know, even when you go out to something that may seem like just a fun event, going to something, a cultural outing, going to a museum, there's inevitably a conversation that happens that helps you better understand what's happening on the local scene. So it's why one of the things I think that diplomats, why we're here, why we don't do this via a Zoom call. You can't do diplomacy. As I think one of our former I think it was the Deputy Secretary of State, if I recall correctly, said, you know, diplomacy is the last 5 feet. It's the last meter between people. It doesn't work through a video screen. It works through people-to-people contact. And so I'm not the only one doing it. Everyone on my team does. And so all of us is out there trying to engage with local population and figure out what's going on.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sanders. Would you like to add anything else?
Thanks. I really appreciate that. I do think, you know, we talked about the importance of elections, and of course, elections are critical. And of course, it's important for people to participate. So if by chance there are American citizens who are among your listeners who are maybe don't know what they need to do to vote, it is getting very close to the election, and so the time is short. And the rules vary from state to state where someone maybe have ties to. But I would like to remind folks that if they are an American citizen in Canada and looking to vote, I would want to direct them to the Federal Voter Assistance Program. There's a website. It's fvap.gov, federalvoterassistanceprogram.gov. They have information about how to do things like a federal write-in absentee ballot. So if by chance it may be too late to get a state absentee ballot, they are American citizens are eligible to complete a federal write-in absentee ballot and submit that. If they aren't able to mail it themselves, the consulate will accept sealed ballots up until election day, and we will transmit them back to the respective states. Each state has their rules that govern when ballots have to be received by. We will not make any sort of decision on that. All ballots will be sent back, and then individual states will make determinations whether that ballot is eligible for counting depending upon when it's arrived. But we are here to help with that, and so we want American citizens to know that it is not too late to vote, that they can do so, and of course we think it's really important for everyone to vote and have their voice heard.
Thank you very much, Consul General Sanders. This is it, folks. I hope you appreciated my political podcast today, and I am looking forward to having you for next week's show. I wish to thank the U.S. Consulate General in Montreal and the U.S. Diplomatic Mission to Canada, with special thanks to Annick Landreville and Nitsa Sola Rodger for making this interview possible. If you have any questions or would like to submit any ideas of topics to cover related to current political events, write to me at tc420 at ubishops.ca. That is TSICA20 at ubishops.ca.